we talked about the shelters and how Israel was reminded by Moses. God told them, now, when you come into October, the month of the harvest, you set up your shelter to remind you, because now they had arrived into the promised land. So they had everything they needed. I mean, they had great homes. They had vineyards they didn't plant. They had milk and honey. And while they were out in the wilderness, they lived in these little lean-tos, a little tent out there. And every time they moved, they'd have to pick the tent up and go. So God said, Moses, tell them, now after 40 years, now their descendants have come into the promised land. Tell them not to forget where they came from. Build that little tent out in the backyard or on their patios, or, well, they didn't have patios then, but build one. Well, for 2 weeks, and I saw that when we were in Israel, they still do it until this day. They still build a little lean-to on their porches. I showed you all their shelters a couple of weeks, and they would build them, stay out there, eat out there, have communion out there. And I just felt like the Lord said to tell you that he would like that kind of attention from us, that we would remember where we came from, where he brought us from. He didn't bring us out of Egypt. He brought us out of the world. He brought us out of drugs, out of alcohol. Lord knows what he brought us all out of that's in here today. But he said, tell them not to forget it. So I want you to set up a little place in your backyard or on your patio for me, and go out there as often as you want to this week and give me praise. Don't pray about anything. Don't ask him for anything. You know, you will worship in here. You can worship in the house, but out there, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life, where you've brought me from. And have communion. Many of us took communion every day. And it was just a delight. Different people would come and share in your shelter with you. So I think I'm going to declare this, as I said, our first annual shelter of praise and thanksgiving. Because there was so much participation and you enjoyed it so much. And I kept getting notes. Brother Art says it just feels so peaceful out here. It just feels so peaceful and sweet. And the presence of the Lord is here. And these are the kinds of comments that I got. So how many of you would like to see some of our shelters? I showed just a few of them last Wednesday night, but let's just show a few of them there. Gabby, if you have them. Brother Robert, if you'll pull the lights down so we can see them real well. That one's mine. We just put some sheets up, and I think that's Debbie Bowen setting up on a hill, but they dug out a place and made a little flat place. Debbie, that just is so awesome, and you told me how much you enjoyed that. What a sweet place. Look at that. There's Marianne and Leonard's place with their children. I guess Leonard's taking the picture, but there's Leonard Arts. In fact, they had another long table where I guess they shared with the family. It was just beautiful. Thank you guys so much. And let's see. That one was yours, Gabby, right? Gabby had a lot of seating. She's got a good family, and so I love that, Gabby. Thank you. It looks like a beautiful pop-up, and you know who that is? Garcia family and Mama, and Brother Roman sent me a picture, and he says, we're out here having dinner, and the mosquitoes are having us for dinner. But it was a good place to share. In fact, I took the grandkids out there on Saturday, and I said, Parker, I want you to invite the presence of the Lord, invite Jesus to come and dine with us and eat with us. And he always came. You could always feel his presence. I forget. Oh, Chris and Sandra, yes. Sandra, so good to see you here. You were at the hospital the other night. But here you are today. God bless you. I've been praying for you every single day. Look how sweet that is. Beautiful. Look at that one. I forgot whose that was. Oh, Peggy. Look at that. Peggy, that was just gorgeous. And I'm sure you felt the presence. Look at that. Sarah and David, the kids. David said it felt so good, and it was so good for their family. He said, I just want to leave it up and add some things, add a little heater in there, and thinking about next year, what can we do next year? So this has really been amazing. This is Shannon's. Shannon, that was probably third or fourth that she sent me. And Shannon, that is so precious. And look at her Bible out there. I mean, it's just a place where you could have communion, take your dinner, or just sit there and thank him. And there's Casey and Tanks again. Their son came home from college, and there he was able to go out with them. Is that it? Is that all? Okay. But thank you guys for sharing those with us. I hope you don't mind. I know you didn't, because I told you I was going to show them, and you approved it. So thank you, though, for sharing that with us, because God said, I just want their praise. I just want their praise. Do you know how much your children want your praise? Mm-hmm. I went to Parker's little baseball, football game yesterday morning, and I'm telling you, you should see those parents praising those little boys. They just praise them. You know, you have a little Christmas play here, those little kids, they can't carry a tune, they're not really singing or whatever they're doing, and the parents are like, I mean, they're just amazed. They just love them. I mean, there's some of the greatest crowds we have is when we dedicate a baby or have a Christmas play where the kids are going to be there. So you say, well, you know, God, does he really need our praise? Let me tell you something about him. This is about him. He doesn't need our encouragement. He doesn't need all this. But I'm going to tell you, God does not have an ego. So he's not saying, praise me, because he has an ego. He just loves to be praised because he loves us so much. He wants us to love him back. Your companion wants you to praise them. Your children want the praise. You want the praise from your children. How many love a good compliment now and then? You don't always get them. I know that. But you know what? Praise is good. Let me give you the definition of praise in case you don't know. Praise means to show words of approval or admiration. Admiration for someone or something. It also means an expression of worship to God. So, you know, God doesn't suffer from bouts of depression or any of those kind of things or emotional problems. That's not the reason he desires our praise. He knows our praise is not only going to bring him great glory and strength and love. He says, I want you to praise me. He called Moses. He called all the disciples. When they were writing, they were always writing about loving him. You cannot love somebody if you don't have praise for them. If you love them, you'll always give a word of praise. If you pull that praise back, I'm going to tell you, either you're awful proud, you're awful selfish, or life is all about you. Because when you love somebody, you're not going to mind to pass that praise out, a good word. You're gonna give it out, amen. So he doesn't need that because he's emotional or any of those things. He knows really this is for our good. How do you feel if you do something for somebody and they never say thank you? How does that make you feel? Not very good. So you give, and here's the thing, church. We give words to our kids, to our spouse, to our friends, to our church, believers and fellowship, people we fellowship with and your co-workers. But we can't leave God out. Don't forget to thank him. Don't forget to thank him for the little things, the big things, the awesome things. Oh, we always thank him for our family and our friends and our homes and our cars and everything like that that we have. But don't forget to thank him for the peace that you have on the inside of your heart. I can't tell you how many times I thank him for just knowing him. I am so glad I know him. Aren't you glad you know him? What if you didn't know him? What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing to think that your kids don't know him as well. But we cannot forget to give him praise. One of the sweetest forms of praise I think I've ever seen, and I don't think I say this lightly, but I did a wedding for my brother's grandson over near Pismo Beach. There was a lake out there somewhere before you get to before you get near the beach. It was a beautiful ranch. It was just beautiful. It was just astounding, and the big lakes were out there. And my nephew, great nephew, he was just a giant of a man. He's only like 24, but he's this giant teddy bear. You know, just huge. I mean, shoulders look like this. He's a football player, and he's that broad, and I don't know how much he would weigh, but he was probably 6'7". His little brother looked short up against him, and he's 6'4". So I know Jared must be 6'7", 6'9", whatever. And a big boy. Anyway, here comes his bride. And I'm standing up there next to Jared and his little party over there, and the girls and their party, wedding attendants. And so here comes his beautiful bride walking down the aisle. Dad has her by the hand. And when this giant of a man saw her, I'm telling you, his face turned red. I thought he was going to fall apart. The tears, when I say the tears flowed, I don't mean he got teary-eyed. I mean, he was going in front of the whole crowd. And then we all start crying. And he's just so big, and you just don't see this man cry. And then she's halfway down the aisle. And when she gets about halfway, he couldn't even take it. I thought he was going to run out there. But he just yells through all of his tears, you're just so beautiful. You're just so beautiful. I don't know what I did to deserve her. I'm like, brother, get a grip. But what was he doing? He loved that girl. And he was so proud of her. And she really wasn't all that. But she was to him. I mean, she looked beautiful in that white dress. All brides are beautiful. You know, they're like little babies. All babies are beautiful. And so she came, and oh, she was the most beautiful thing to him. So he was just praising her. Why? Because he loved her. And his face was just beet red, and his pretty tux was just all wet. It was just, okay, so anyway, I think you got the point. I was going to say, that kind of praise, his first part of praise is when you think, you just don't even have words. A couple of you and I were talking this week, and we were talking about how you just sat there in his presence and you didn't even have any more words. He was so beautiful. And we knew that he was there in all of his majesty. And he just come to such a lowly people like us, and the little shelter with sheets, my goodness, just sheets around a patio. But there comes that time, even in prayer sometimes, but boy, when it comes in praise, and you know what? And we're his bride. And listen, we're not all that. But he is. He was. He is. I'm not saying he was. So let's look at Psalms 100. I'm going to take time for this message today, okay? You say, I don't know, Pastor, I need a how-to sermon. Oh, this is a how-to, believe me. Wonderful Jesus. I'm going to read all this little psalm, Gabby, at Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with, say it, singing. Man, there was so much. I've been reading all the psalms this week, and from Psalms about 90 to about 110, I can't tell you how many times it says, come with singing and with musical instruments and play the lyre and the trumpet and the lute and just the cymbals and give him praise. Come before his presence with singing. Sometimes we just sit out there and sing. Some of you had music going. The other day, it was just for me, it was, I sing praises to your name, O Lord. praises to your name. You can sing what you want. But he told us to do it. He said, come before me with singing, whether you can carry a tune. I love your song. There's just something, church. There's just something about your praise he loves. Now, the angels, man, they give him all the glory, all the time, 24 hours a day. But God didn't do for them what he did for us. They're created beings, but he's done stuff for us. That's why we come in with a song to him. Verse 3. All know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, look at verse 4, and you've cut your teeth on this one, you that were raised in church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. All right, how do he say, come into my gates? The gate is a gateway. It's a pathway. He said, now when you come into my presence, you come in with thanksgiving. Somebody told me today, Pastor, I bought a Thanksgiving book. So every day I can just write something I'm thankful for. And it can be the simplest of little things. But you thank him for it. Keep that little book. Maybe you've got one praise written on one page. That's okay. But when you enter his gates, come in with thanksgiving. When you get into his presence, don't immediately ask him to heal your body or touch your family or whatever, or give you a financial blessing. He said, when you enter my gateway, you come in with praise, and then you'll get into my courts with praise. Oh, just lift up a praise. Hallelujah. Somebody just lift your hands up and give me a praise right here. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come into your courts with praise. And then it says, be thankful. Be thankful to him. And look at that. Bless his name. If you can't think of anything else to just say, Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. Let it become a part of your makeup. Lord, I bless your name. For Lord, you are good. Hallelujah. Now listen, sometimes I think people think that our praise and worship with the praise team, that sometimes I think you all might think that it's just a precursor to the word. It's just what we do before the word comes. Or you think it's just an opening to the service. This is how we open up the service with praise. I'm not going to call any names, but I remember one lady in the church, precious sister, and she would always show up after praise was just about over. And she would know just about when that praise was over, and she had come in. And so finally I asked her one day, we went to lunch, and I asked her, I said, hey, can I ask you why? I know you're late now and then, but I mean, you're really late. Like, you come in after worship. I've been watching, and you've been coming in after worship. Well, Pastor, to be honest with you, I just don't like music. I don't like music. I don't have it in my car. I just don't like it. And I said, really? My goodness. Well, I just couldn't imagine anyone not liking music. And but anyway, we sat there and talked about worship and how important that part of the service was. It was really, really important, and it would be a blessing, and all these things would be so beautiful. I told her, I said, I believe if you would just start coming in, I think you could start appreciating it. Whether you like that song selection, well, read the words anyway. You may not like the tune, but look at the words and start praising him. And you know what? She just has become so precious in our worship. She's always here for it. She's always right there. I don't know how long it took her to get into it. I wasn't watching. All I knew is she was here and she was being a part. So, you know, it's so important. And it's not just the opening of the service or doing first things first before I minister. Now, when I was a little, not a little girl, but I would say I was a mid-teenager, like 16 maybe, we were in an organization church. Our organization was called the Pentecostal Church of God. But as I've traveled and I've met up with many, many, many other organizations, I saw some of the same traits. And when I went to camp meetings or I went to conventions, you could still see it happening at conventions. Watch on your TV if you're ever watching a convention. And I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. And so we would have the bishop come through, the bishop of all the organizations. The bishop would come, and sometimes the evangelists would do the same thing, but I always remember the bishop would be sitting upon the platform. And we were all so excited to have the bishop and his wife there. And there he sat. And while worship was going on, he was like this. Put a shirt in his mouth. I'm like, he was like too accomplished to worship or something. Or I do this all the time. I go from church to church to church. I don't need to worship. And then we've had evangelists come through, and I'll say, you're ready to go out. I hear the trumpet blast. Oh, I believe I'll stay in here a little while. And they want to stay in until worship is just about over. Because they do this all the time. How can you get tired of coming into the presence of the Lord all the time? I mean, I don't get it. You are never too accomplished or never above worshiping Him. And how they could just stand there. I'd ask my pastor, Pastor, does that ever bother you when you see people do that? He said, well, I guess I never noticed. Then I started noticing him. I thought, well, you kind of just like him. Let's not ever get that way, church. Let's not ever get that way. You know, I believe I was, I don't want to start meddling here, but I believe I was like 35 years old, or maybe a little bit more. So I went with a bunch of church people. We went up to see Rod Parsley in Fresno at Save Mart Center, was it there? Probably that Salad Arena. And the place was packed. And so, boy, I'm telling you, the music was just altogether lovely. I'm telling you, it was beautiful. Music was good, and the people were praising. And I'm a young girl, see, still, well, no, I'm not really. I'm in my 30s now, early 30s. And, you know, I never got my hands above here. And then all these people jumping around, well, I'd never jumped either. And so all these people, I mean, they just got carried away. Now they're jumping, they're praising. I mean, their hands are here, they're waving, they're crazy. And then I thought, well, I better get in or get out. And so I got my hands from here to here. And I want to tell you, if you're one of these, maybe you just ought to go ahead and get up here. Now, if all of you would do that, maybe they'd say, I better get in or get out. And so you could just start worshiping too. Because if you're just sitting there staring at the words or staring at the kids or staring at somebody else, God is not getting any glory out of you. He's not getting any praise out of you. And he told us, when you come into my... And you come into my gates, you come in with thanksgiving. When you come into my presence, come into my courts with praise. So come on, church. It's good to praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. The last part of the very last psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Parker and I were reading the other day how he said the birds, when they sing, they're praising God. The trees, when they blow, they're praising God. Andre Crouch once wrote, if we don't give him praise, the rocks will cry out. The word says that. And then he said, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive, I will give him praise. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, to glorify his holy name. Thank you, Lynn. As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name, there's not going to be a rock, a piece of gravel cry out for me. There's not going to be a bird cry out for me. I'm not going to let anything cry out for me when I'm giving God praise, because, church, there's something about your praise he loves. I can praise him, Dee can praise him, you can praise him, but there's just something about when you do it. He loves your praise. Woo, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Church, I'm telling you, when we begin to praise, you know what happens? We can be absorbed. We can get all absorbed with worry, with our stress, with fear, with everything going on in our world, things going on at work or whatever, and you can get absorbed with that. But you know one thing that would replace that real good? I know, Sandra, when your stomach is hurting and you don't know where that pain's coming from and it hurts so bad, it's really hard to say, Lord, you're good, you're good, you're good. But I'm going to tell you, when you see everything is down for you, but if you can just start to say, Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. You're good. Your mercy endures forever, Lord. It gets your mind. It gets your mind off of your worry, off of your stress, off of your stuff, and on how good he really is. He's just good, church. He's much bigger than anything. I mean, we don't make him big enough. Oh, we make our problems big. That's never going to work out. He's never going to change. She's never going to change. Well, that's what you believe. But the Bible says God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just always going to be the same. So he said, I know how to take care of your stuff. And what really always blew me away, in Exodus, he told Moses, he said, Moses, build me a tabernacle down there in the wilderness with my people. And he told Moses how to build it. You know what? He built it out of badger skins. I mean, just animal skins. And fabric. A lot of our stuff probably was much better than they had. But Moses said, God, you want me to build you a tabernacle? He gave him the measurements. They put the candlesticks in and the bread for the priest. And then they treated it like it was Solomon's temple, all gold. It was just amazing little tent with gold-plated ark in it. And, you know, it was nicer than their tents. But you know why God wanted to do that? He said, because, listen to me, God said, I want you to do that, Moses, so I can come down and dwell with my people. I just want to be with them. He wants to be with us, church, more than we want to be with him. Believe me. He said, Moses, I just want to come down and be with them. Well, you're gonna dwell in that box between those cherubims? Yes. That's where I want to be. I want to be with my people. And now he loves us so much. He saved our soul by the blood of Jesus. We're getting ready to come to his table. Then he said, now I will dwell in you. Your temple will be my dwelling place. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits. He doesn't. See, you could be praising him. And he visited our little lunch table the other day. He visited our shelter. But I said, Lord, I don't want you just to visit with me. I don't want you just to come in and step in and visit the church. I want you to inhabit. Just dwell with us like you did in the temple. Just stay. I taught Isaiah a song. Isaiah, we're still going to get that song one day. It's just called Stay. I don't want you to go. I said, Isaiah, that's not a song for now, but that's a song for the Olive Street outpouring when it comes. You put it on hold, Isaiah. You save it. And he's got it ready for us. He's got it. He's worked it up. It's ready. But he inhabits our praise. That means he dwells there. He lives there. He wants to stay. He doesn't want to go. Hallelujah. Now, I'm closing. The very first mention of praise in our Bibles was in Genesis chapter 29 when Jacob had his sons. And he named that one son his wife. He said, honey, what are you going to name that boy or that child? They didn't know in those days. She said, I'm going to call him Judah. Judah means praise. Judah always means praise. It always means praise. Judah always means praise. And Jesus says in Revelation 5:5, it says that Jesus says, I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I wrote a song once called, I'm a Lion in the Tribe of the Lord. Amen? We are lions in the tribe of the Lord. So whenever there was a war, God would say to David or to Solomon or Elijah, he would say, call Judah. Put Judah out front. Have Judah and the praisers go out. And the praisers and the musicians would go out front, just like they did for Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was faced with armies all around him. And he called for Judah. He called for the praisers. And they went before. And every time those praisers, listen, every time those praisers went before, the battle was won. Every single time. You want your battle won? You don't know what to do with the battle? You don't know what that mess you're in, that stuff that's going on? I'm just telling you, there's something about your praise he loves. And if you will begin to praise him, you will get a Judah out front, and that Judah will go ahead and win the battle for you in the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just going to read two more verses. Listen to this. Bible says you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a special people that you may proclaim. That means show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. What are we here to do? We're here to show forth his praise. You've got to start telling others, church, how good he's been. You've got to start saying, Lord, you've been good to me. That I know I've got some issues still going on, but Lord, you're still good. You're good. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to praise my way out. Remember, Paul and Silas were in the jail, and I think it's Acts 26. They were in the jail. They were locked in. And the Bible says that Paul and Silas began to pray, and they began to sing praises. They sung praises. And what happened when they sung praises? The jail shook, and it was like an earthquake, tore the whole jail apart, and they walked out free. Why? Because they sung praises. And the Bible says the others heard them. Everybody don't always hear you when you're alone praising him. You're in your car. You're in your house. You're in your shelter. I believe these shelters, you may take the sheets down, but I believe you're still going to keep. Now you've already developed a habit of going out and having communion with him. You've already developed a habit this week of going out and not asking him for a thing, but saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You've been so good. Now, I just want to leave you with this. You got a choice every day. You can either worry about it or you can praise him through it. You can either be stressed out over it or you can praise him until there's a spiritual earthquake that shakes it loose. Amen. Let's read Psalms 98. I'm just going to read the whole thing. Stand with me. I want you to read it on the monitors with me. We're going to start at verse 1. It's a short chapter. But look, this verifies everything I just said. Oh, sing, say it out loud with me, please. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Keep it going. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel and to us, I'll say. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Keep it going quickly. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth, look, in song, rejoice. Sing what? There it is, sing praises. Sing to the Lord, with a harp, with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Let's read that again. He is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Hallelujah. Come on, give me praise. He's coming back for us. Woo. If this week didn't do anything else for us, and I believe it did more than we'll ever know. But I'll tell you this. I believe it made us more aware of him and his goodness and his love for us. It made us more aware to be thankful and praise him and say, thank you, Jesus, for all things. You say, Pastor, I missed it. I didn't do it. Then why don't you do it this week? Why don't you go ahead and create a little place? It'll be all right, however you do it. Hallelujah. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. And I wanted to just ask you right now, before we go there, could you just close your eyes for a minute and let's just seek the Lord for his righteousness and his peace and his love, and let's just make this place a dumping ground for anything that you need to dump. You just need to let it go. You just need to let it go. The Lord is so good. He's so kind. He's so long-suffering. He's not mad at you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you said or what you did. Paul killed Christians, but God loved him. And Paul said, it's as though I've wronged no man. He can take your mess and turn it into something beautiful. Oral Roberts used to say, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. Lord, you have understood us and you love us. And you forgive us. And I pray that if there is anyone in this room, right here, right now, that says, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Wash me clean. And come into my life and live with me. Live inside me. I need you, Lord. I've made a big old mess of things. I've made a mess, and I know it's a mess. But would you help me? Would you show me the way out? Oh, yes, he will. All you've got to do today is believe that Jesus loves you, that he came and he died for your sins, and he rose again, and he's coming back to get us, and receiving as your Lord and your Savior, and he will receive you and come and live with you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would somebody lift your hands and give me praise? Come on, especially you if you gave your heart to Jesus today. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for conviction. Thank you that somebody was convicted. Thank you, Lord, somebody was convicted. Lord, I know that you don't always cleanse and wash away the past. You wash the past away, but we don't forget that past. We can remember it. And you don't want us to pull it up and play it like a DVR or a video. You don't want us to play it again and again. Church, the only time that he will wants you to play it again is when it may help somebody else. And you can't remember, you can't forget where you came from. And if you need to use it to get somebody else free, then do that. But don't be thinking about it again and again and again. Just let him have it. Father, we thank you. You've been so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat. We're not a Catholic church. If you've been divorced, you can still receive communion. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and you said, Pastor, I love him and I want him to dwell with me, then you're free to come down and receive communion. You don't have to belong to this church. You can be a guest, but please come. Come on. There will be an usher standing at each table. Hallelujah. Please come. Stay honorable before him. Could you just sing the goodness of the Lord, or what did you have in mind, Chris? Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Real softly.
I love you, Lord.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head,
I will
sing
in your own way
of the goodness of God.
All right, remember this when you're praising him. All my life.
All my life.
You have been faithful. Come on, we're singing him a song right now. All my life.
All my life. You have been so, so good.
With every breath that I am able,
oh, I will sing of the good.
All right, let's take the breath. Come on, pick it up. Jesus, how can we ever say thank you for your broken body that was literally broken for us in every way, in every fashion? It was broken that we might live, broken that we might have eternal life. Broken that we might be healed. So, Lord, we are honored and we are very humbled to eat of your precious body. And, Lord, we take it into ourselves right now in your name. And we're so thankful for it. We give you praise, Lord. Come on, let's eat the body of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do something special because of your broken body to your sweet people. I love your voice. It has led me, listen.
You have led me through the fire.
Read this in the darkest night.
In darkest night. You are close like no other.
I've known you as my father.
I've known you as a father.
And my best
I've
friend.
I've known you as a friend.
Oh, look at this.
I have lived in the goodness of God.
One more time, of course. All my life.
All my life you have been.
Has it been, church?
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on, take his cup. Look down in it. See that little grape juice. It's a picture of his blood that was shed for our many sins. And it was a bloody cross, and the blood ran down that cross for our ugly sins. I mean, I don't care what you've done or who you did it with. It was so ugly. Maybe you spent years in prison and whatever went on there, or in your past, or just yesterday. But he said, this is the blood that I shed for you. It's not the blood of a lamb they used to have in the wilderness. This is the blood of a spotless lamb, Jesus. Spotless lamb. So, Lord, again, we are humbled and thankful. And we praise you. And we sing a new song as we receive your precious blood that takes our black heart and washes it as white as snow with your red blood. Oh, I thank you, Lord. You're so good. Let us receive his blood together in Jesus' name. All my life you have been of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Come on, praise him one more time, church. Come on, thank him one more time. Come on, thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you. You're beautiful, Lord. We love you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that when we see you, we'll act like little Jared did when he saw his bride coming. Or when you see your bride coming, you'll break out in praise about us and begin to cry, Lord, because you love us and you know how much we love you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, if you wanted to start your shelter this week, you didn't last week, that's fine too. I want us to pray for a couple of people here. I know many of you know Dr. Rice, Dr. Janice Rice. She passed away night before last. She had had a very long illness. I think she had a car wreck. And so we will pray for her son, Tony, who was keeping her and her daughter. Pray for her family. And I want to thank you, Tanya, for being so sweet to Janice. You were just so precious and faithful to us. Also, I want you to keep in mind my brother Larry. He'll probably be the oldest brother. He'll be going to convalescent, I hope, this week. And he's just a mess. And Linda's there with him today. Couldn't leave him. So let's pray for them that God will make haste and help them out there in Jesus' name. Also, we're going to pray for 12-year-old Rixton Kobe. They're going to do a surgery to straighten her spine. And we pray that that goes well and she heals quickly. In Jesus' name, Sonia, Sandra, I love you. And we'll be praying for you. And it's good to see you here today. You're a praiser. You're a worshiper. And for you too, we're going to pray for our brother Usher over there. It's good to see him here today. He's been experiencing some health issues, a pinched nerve, and some things happened to him. So, hallelujah, Brother BJ, good to see you here today. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, first I want to ask you to take a look at Dr. Rice's children, especially Tony and her daughter. Father, you know that Janice Rice probably fed more hungry people and more homeless people than all of the churches in town put together. She cared about them, Lord, and She had volunteers that helped her, and they went out and took care of them for years and years. And so, Lord, we pray that her harvest would come back upon her children to find you, Lord, in a special way. Pray for my brother Larry and for Linda. Lord, that's a hard thing, but Lord, we don't ask you anything too hard for you. Is anything too hard for you? No. Is your arm too short? No. So, Father, we know that you were there with him, and you'll show them exactly what to do in the quickest time, in Jesus' name. We pray for little Brixton, Colby, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you will lead her as her doctor does surgery on her spine. May it be an amazing surgery. May it be marvelous in your eyes. Thank you for touching BJ, Lord, for giving him a healing touch today while he had communion. Oh, Lord, he doesn't need hands laid on him. He already received your blood and he received your body. Nothing's greater than that. Miss Audra, I bless you today. You had the communion of the Lord. You had his body and you had his blood. And, Lord, she received that. May you inhabit, Lord, that you do inhabit the blood and the body. Be healed, my sister, in Jesus' name. And, Brother Carl, may the glory of God come upon you and finish what God has started. And I pray that as you may be looking at surgery, that God will take it from here, Carl. The old song says, Jesus, take the wheel. And I pray that for every one of you that's in this room right now, Sandra, BJ, and Carl, oh, God, take the wheel. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Somebody say amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today. And pick up your, well, you can't get your shoebox, but don't forget about that for our precious little ones around the world. God bless you. You're dismissed. After I bless you, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, give you peace in your home, in your mind, in your heart, in your family, and in your finances. I bless you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.